There's a legend round here. A killer buried, but not dead. A curse on Crystal Lake. A death curse. Jason Voorhees' curse. They say he died as a boy, but he keeps coming back. Few have seen him and lived. Some have even tried to stop him. No one can.
Welcome to Higgins Haven, a Friday the 13th podcast. My name is Jason Parker. I am the webmaster for FridayThe13thFranchise.com. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the Blu-ray box set and other upcoming events and merchandise.
Thank you to everybody for listening in for our very long delayed newest episode for the website. It's been almost a year, actually, since I last created the podcast. And for various reasons, it's just been very hectic past year, and I've been trying to put together a decent platform for, you know, our listeners and our readers to, you know, really be engaged with. Recording podcasts is not necessarily my specialty, nor do I have any real background in it, but I figured, you know, it kind of adds something to the website, and I think people appreciate listening to maybe not me specifically, but they like listening to different topics and news about Friday the 13th. So I'm going to go ahead and give it another try here. And I know everybody wants to have a situation where, you know, you're getting to listen to multiple people talk about anything with Friday the 13th. And unfortunately for our latest episode, you will just have me today. I am looking into bringing some more people in to discuss the films, have our witty banter, and make things a little bit more entertaining for everybody. But I do promise that's coming up very, very soon, and I hope to make these podcast recordings more frequent for everybody. So one thing I did want to talk about, though, today, I guess to start off with, is the new Blu-ray box sets that we just reported about on the website last week. Really huge news for fans. I've been, you know, I don't know if people realize or, you know, but I do keep track of all the comments on the website and the Facebook pages and Twitter, and, you know, I hit the forums, so I definitely have the pulse of what's going on with the fans and the reactions to the new Blu-ray box set. First, I wanted to state that It's been killing me not to say anything to you guys about the release of that set. I actually found out about that a few months ago, that was in the works. And I didn't know the exact specific details, but I did know that they were putting an all 12-film Blu-ray box set together, and they were releasing it on September 13th. So it's been funny the last couple weeks that, you know, for the last year, that's all I've heard about on the website. I get emails and people sending in our old forum, I'd get private messages and so on and so forth, Facebook messages, constantly asking, you know, hey, what's going on with this Blu-ray set that Warner Brothers might be putting out? And not knowing or not being able to say anything to you guys has been really hard. I kind of put some hints out there here and there in the forum and on Facebook and such, but it's been hard, and so I'm actually kind of relieved that Warner Brothers finally did put out their press release, so I could actually talk about it now, which is great. So back to what I was saying about user comments about the Blu-ray box set. I'll give you my take on it first. I think it's a great thing. I think that Warner Brothers, obviously they're putting this out there to make money, but the fact that they went ahead, you know, and are releasing this about 9 months after it was announced that they were going to be doing this, I think that's great. I think it shows that they care. I do think that it shows that they understand that there is a market out there still, that fans are interested in this. But I do see where some where fans are coming from with the triple, quadruple dipping argument, where it's like, you know, I already have this film on VHS. I bought it twice on DVD now. I have it on Laserdisc. And, you know, actually, sometimes for some people, it's three different versions if you bought the 2005 box set as well. But, you know, it's, you know, I kind of like the idea. I think it's nice to have one package. They're all Blu-ray. I like that they're putting a mini version of Crystal Lake Memories in there. I've read that some people are upset about that because they think, well, I already own Crystal Lake Memories, so this doesn't help me. But you have to understand, there are a number of people out there who still don't own that book, the hardcover book, nor do they actually own the ebook that was released last year. And there's various reasons for that. I mean, some people just don't have a Kindle or an iPad or such, and they just didn't want to get that ebook version. And some people don't have $40 or $50 or whatever it costs now to buy that book in the hardcover edition. So it's, you know, I totally get it. But for the fan that, you know, hasn't bought a lot of these movies and doesn't own the book, fans who are just getting into this in the last couple of years, I think this is a great set. I'm going to pick it up. You know, I love Blu-ray, and I think it's a great set, and I hope they make good sales on this, because you have to remember this too, guys, that and girls, that Warner Brothers is trying to gauge the popularity of the franchise here. And although Warner Brothers no longer has the rights to distribute a new film in the next couple of years, I also think that Paramount's going to keep an eye on this. They're going to look to see what's going on with these sales. Now, I think ultimately Paramount's going to move forward with a new sequel, which we'll talk about here really soon. But back to the Blu-ray, it's interesting to read the venom and the hate towards Warner Brothers on the fact that, you know, there's no new extras and they're not uncut, and, you know, there's no director's cut, and there's no new commentary. And it's like, you got to remember, I mean, and Dan Ferentz talked about this at length. I've discussed it at length. I posted about this on the website. You have to understand that for Friday the 13th, the final chapter, through to Jason Takes Manhattan, we have got everything that they have. There is nothing else. That is a guaranteed fact stated to us by Dan Ferentz and the rest of the people he works with. Who helped put together those specific DVDs. There is nothing else to find. What you see is what you have. And there are people out there who know that, who now argue that we want this in an unedited form. We want this put back in the movie. People can do this. The one of the number one examples is the fact that for the original My Bloody Valentine from 1981, is they took the raw footage and inserted it right back into the movie. They edited it in. And which is great, and I applaud them for that, but the footage looks out of place in that film, and some of the footage from, for instance, Part 7, it comes directly from a VHS copy. It looks bad. You know, it has the time code information on it, there's scratches, there's tracking problems, and I can see where Warner Brothers specifically would just not want to try to get into fixing that up to the point where they'd put it into a film that they're going to put out there. That's not Warner Brothers. That's not what they're going to do. If they were going to do it, they'd have to spend a lot of money, and I still don't think they'd be able to really get it to the point where it would look as part of the film. So, you know, the final chapter with the end scene, now that looks beautiful. When you watch that on DVD, it looks perfect. Could they offer that as an alternative ending, maybe like they did with the Clue DVD, where you could choose which ending you wanted to watch before the movie started? Sure, they could probably do that, but the problem with that is there's no audio and there's no music. So Warner Brothers would then have to go and spend money and time to not only get a score in there, which they could use stock music, I suppose, but not only that, but then they'd have to get or somehow get Kimberly Beck to come in and do voiceover for her scenes where she talks, which there isn't a lot, but you still have to do something. And it's, you know, I could see the argument. You could go one way or another with this, but personally, that's a great find, a great alternate ending find. It doesn't work. I much prefer what we got in the film. And I think it's great that you can watch it as an extra, but I honestly wouldn't want to see it in the ending. So I personally wouldn't want them to go ahead and do that anyways. Now, you know, so that kind of, and as for, you know, Friday the 13th, the 1980 version through part three, you know, Dan Ferentz and his crew didn't work on that. So the people who did work on the first three DVDs that came out in 2009, none of them have really come out and been public about their affiliation or you know, what they did to work on those films. So we don't know for certain if they can say, you know, if they can come out and say, hey, there is nothing else. But the thought is that there just isn't anything else there. It's gone. There's no extra footage. And, you know, the original Friday the 13th, we've seen everything. There's nothing left to get for that film. You know, part two and part three are really the ones that people kind of like yearn for and want. And I would love to see the scenes. I think if they could find them, I there's some stuff in there I'd love to see put back in. Especially the ending of part two, where his mom opens up the eyes. Now people have there have been people who have been interviewed who said they've seen that footage and it looks really hokey and cheesy. It very well might, but I'd still like to see it. I still think it's warranted. Of course, there's the numerous endings to part three that have been chronicled in the novelization and such. I don't know. I'd like to see it, but to say that to have it added back in, I just don't see it. I like the ending the way it is, even though the ending for part three is kind of ridiculous with the mom jumping out of the lake. I don't think you're going to get a good ending in that movie, regardless. Maybe seeing Chris's head chopped off like they were going to do originally would work, but I don't know. I just don't think that would really suffice for me. But at any rate, so we'll kind of wrap up that discussion really quick, where I think what you're getting from Warner Brothers for the Blu-ray box set really is something that most people, I think, will appreciate. Now, there's some people who will appreciate it and say, I'll pass, because they don't want to buy the movies all over again. They don't think it warrants the money because of the extras. And quite frankly, I mean, spending close to $100 up front for movies that you already own is kind of ridiculous, I guess, to look at in that respect. So, I mean, I see all the arguments, but I just wanted to let you guys know that I really think that it's a good thing they're doing. I think that one of the other arguments, too, is that for the box set, they're not using the traditional Friday the 13th font. My guess is that they may not have the ability to do that. Maybe there is still some rights issues where they can't package all these movies together and use the old font, because maybe Paramount has some sort of copyright with that. Now, when you look at the discs in the promo image that they have for the box set, you do notice that they do use the original Friday the 13th font on the discs for the Paramount films. The actual promotional font that they use on the posters and the old box cover art, so which is cool. So I got to think that not using the traditional font on the box cover itself has to do with some kind of rights issues. Probably also why they use the image of Jason from Jason Goes to Hell on the box cover and not anything else from the Paramount era, because it's got to be something to do with rights. I don't know that for certain, but I'm sure everybody loved the fact that they used the Jason Goes to Hell Jason. I could just hear people moan and groan. As soon as I first saw that image, I knew everybody was going to be upset about that one. But let's be honest, if New Line was going to use a Jason from the New Line films, that's the best looking Jason out of the whole bunch. And people don't like the film, but you got to admit, that's the best looking Jason, maybe out of most of the films overall. So, but anyway, guys, keep up positive mojo with the Blu-ray box set. I think it's great. Remember, if you're thinking about buying it, just get it. Buy it. Show them that the fans still care. And if you truly want them, then don't worry about what may have been or what they could have. Just go with it. So, but we'll get back on topic with that, I'm sure, another day. But next thing I want to talk about, which was, man, maybe it was bigger news, was the fact that Paramount went ahead and reacquired the rights back to the Friday the 13th film franchise with the ability to distribute any new sequels for the next 3 years, which is awesome. I'm pretty sure they're fast-tracking that. In fact, I've asked a few people involved in the previous production, and I either get the response I get from some of the crew are either nothing at all, like no response, or a smiley face. So what does that mean? I have no idea. Some of the people that I talked to from the movies are really fun people the people who worked on the films, and they can have great sense of humors, and who knows what that all means when I ask those questions. Obviously, they're not going to tell me anything because they know I run a website and there's a fear that I might say something, but I will tell you this much. The things I've found out over the past couple years that I've kept secret and not said anything, everybody would be amazed. It's not easy being a very hardcore fan of the franchise of these Friday the 13th films and find out the things I've found out and not being able to say anything to you guys. So, but the crew doesn't, a lot of the people don't know me personally, so I totally understand that. But it's exciting right now. I really hope that we can get this new film out there. Again, I read what everybody is putting out there on Facebook, forums, comments, and everybody's really hoping for that date next year, that June 13th, 2014 date for release. And I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, you're talking about now less than a year to get a script together, get crew together, to start production, to film, to edit, to score the film, and to promote it, and then release it. I just don't see it happening, guys. I'm thinking 2015 is more realistic, unfortunately. Unless they want to try to get it out at the end of the year, they're not just going to pigeonhole themselves to a Friday the 13th release date, then I can definitely understand maybe getting it out next year at the end of the year is possible. But if they're aiming for summer next year, there's no way. The big example that everybody's been giving me lately on this, who I've talked to, is Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. They shot that thing in, I want to say, a month, maybe less than a month. And I think they started like 9 months before it went to theaters. They shot it, they filmed it, they got everything together, they scored the movie, and it was out. It was out for Halloween time. Now, my counter argument to that is, you're bringing back the entire same crew from the previous movie. Rob Zombie had already had his idea for the movie down. He maybe even had it scripted, I have no idea. But you're bringing back the exact same crew, almost the exact same actors, same studio. Everything was there. All they had to do was just say, Rob, go make it. He did. He filmed it. It was done. I mean, they had already done it before. So, and, that movie's itself, and we're not going to get into that, but I just don't see a movie getting out in less than a year right now. It's more realistic to be end of 2014 or 2015. I personally think it's going to be a 2015 release, because if they can start getting things together and maybe film at the end of the year or beginning of next year, then they can start promoting it through the summer into the fall. And, when everybody loves to take their movies to Comic-Con in San Diego. And I just think that that's like the best case scenario for Paramount right now, if they're looking to get a new sequel out there. New sequel ideas. I think everybody's still enamored with that winter setting story that Damian Shannon and Mark Swift have already talked about. That's what their idea was for the sequel to the 2009 film, was to have it some portion of the film set, wintertime or within snow. Right now, we also reported on the website that Bloody Disgusting had interviewed Derek Mears, and it sounded like from that interview that Platinum Dunes and Brad Fuller and Andrew Form and Paramount were in a big hurry to try to get this out there. They want to get the ball rolling. Are they going to work together? Who knows? I know, I'll tell you, I know most fans that I've seen talk about this topic want nothing to do with the film if Platinum Dunes produces it. I think that's silly, guys. I mean, come on. Do you want a new movie or not? If you want someone else to do it, that's I get it. But I think the 2009 film is the best type of Friday the 13th film that you're going to get in the modern era, probably out of anything else they could have done. And for all the nitpicking and the vitriol and just the venom that is spewed towards that film, I personally think it's unwarranted. I believe that it was a good script. I believe that they paid great homages to the original franchise with a lot more little nods to those films than maybe people realize. And I think they put together a solid film. I mean, would it stand up back in the 80s? I definitely think so. I really do. The opening to that film is spectacular. I think most people agree that the opening, I believe, 10 minutes of the film before the film title pops up on screen is one of the best openings and intros of an entire franchise. And, you know, I think what happened with that film is it just started off so great, set the bar so high, that when you got the new group of kids who were not as engaging as the first group of kids in the beginning of the movie, and it just, you know, I just think the 2009 film gets dumped on way too much. I think it's a really good film, and for all the problems that people find for it, I just think it's a good film. So anyways, off my soapbox on that movie. But anyways, I think Mark Swift and Damian Shannon can deliver a good sequel with the script that they've created. I really do. I think they deserve another chance. In terms of Platinum Dunes coming back to produce, I think they can do a good job. I think they're learning a lot from working with Blumhouse Productions with the Purge movie that they just helped co-produce. I think Brad Fuller, who's one of the partners in Platinum Dunes, was interviewed recently, and he even said that learning techniques from Jason Blum, I believe it's Blum, I hope it's not Blum, maybe it is, who runs Blumhouse Productions, just opened his eyes to different ways of creating film in a more cost-effective way, but really scaring audiences. And it's proven. I mean, Blumhouse is proven with, you know, The Purge and all of his other hits. I think, you know, Paranormal Activity and all that. If you could introduce what they do in those films to a Friday the 13th storyline and still keep the gore and the elements, I think you have the combination for a great film. And that's why I think that it's too bad that Blumhouse Productions has a first look deal with Universal Pictures, because I think that they would be really good influence for the next Friday the 13th film. I really would wish Blumhouse and Platinum Dunes could get together and really iron something out with Paramount. Of course, my dream would have Frank Mancuso Jr. come back and oversee a new sequel. I mean, slapping his name on there is almost as good as putting, you know, Sean Cunningham's name, probably better than putting Sean Cunningham's name on there. I think fans of the franchise recognize that name a lot, and it'd be great. It'd be great if he could come back and oversee things. I think it'd be like a consultant kind of situation would be great. I think a new sequel's coming fast, guys. I really do. There's no way that they would have picked up the rights in that deal with, for those of you who don't know, the reason why Paramount Pictures now has a 3-year deal to make a new film is because they traded away part of their stake in Christopher Nolan's new movie, I believe it's Interstellar, and Warner Brothers wanted a piece of that movie, so they're going to help co-finance and produce that film. And so in order to do that, Warner Brothers gave distribution rights back to Paramount for a couple years. And I think we're going to get a new film here very soon, everybody. It's exciting. And I hope they do the franchise justice. And I'm excited for a winter setting. I personally don't want an entire movie set in the winter. I just, my hope is that they they open up the film. They do a prologue with Camp Crystal Lake in the wintertime with a group of kids or something to that effect. And then from there they go back to summer. That's my hope. I'm hoping that's what they would do. I don't know if I'd want to watch a whole movie in the wintertime, because I think you're limited in what you can do in outdoor settings and how you could set up the kills and all that. And so, but let me know what you guys think about that movie after you're done listening to the podcast, because I have some great ideas. I think found footage, if done the right way, can be implemented. I personally wouldn't mind seeing a winter setting, some found footage thrown in there, and the traditional Friday the 13th stuff. What I most want in a new sequel is the first person point of view shot re-implemented back into the film. We haven't really had that in a long time. I mean, a long time. You're talking, I mean, Jason Goes to Hell did it, actually, which is ironic in a way that people hate that film, but it's again, Jason Goes to Hell is actually one of the better shot movies in the franchise. You may not agree with the storyline, but it's shot very well. And but besides Jason Goes to Hell, the first person point of view shot, man, the last time that was used, maybe Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, I think was the last time you saw that, because I don't think you got much of that in Jason Lives. Maybe some of it in The New Blood. I think there was a few scenes where you got that, especially when he kills the camper who's chopping with a machete. I think you get that there. But yeah, it really hasn't been used. I think it's sorely lacking, and I think that should be a big emphasis on the new film, is utilizing that. You don't have to see Jason the whole movie. I know people out there want that. They want to see him in every frame, but that's not Friday the 13th, and that's not what made it popular. So outside of the two big topics, which is the Blu-ray box set and the sequel, I also wanted to talk about the new contest that we started running about a week and a half ago, and that's the Nika contest to win the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Jason Voorhees Nintendo figure, which has been a huge topic on the internet, the interwebs, for all of you who like saying that. There's been some controversy with that contest, and I guess I just wanted to clear up some of that as well. I know a lot of people are disappointed about the fact that you can only enter the contest if you live within the United States. This is the first contest I have ever run with the limitation of shipping only within the U.S. Every other contest I've ever ran on my website and my previous website, I've always been willing to ship anywhere in the world. I've never had a limitation on that ever. But in this particular instance, considering it's a Comic-Con exclusive, and I didn't know what the shipping costs were going to be and how big it was going to, you know, end up being and how much it would weigh, I decided to have Nika or NECA. I've heard people say it both ways. You guys can correct me if you want to. I decided to have Nika ship it directly to the winner. In order to do that, they only ship to the United States. That's their call, not mine. I could have had them ship the figure to me directly and then me ship it to the winner, but they couldn't. There's a specific time that they'd have, or a specific date that they'd have it in hand, and I wasn't sure when they were going to have it, and I didn't want it to get shipped to me, you know, say at the end of the contest, and it take a week, and then I'd get it, and then I'd have to find time to ship it back to the customer, or to customer, to the winner. And it just seemed like a lot of in-between when I could just have Nika ship it directly. As soon as the contest is over, then I just let them know the person's mailing information, and they'll ship it direct. You'll get it in a nice package. And it just eliminates a lot of problems. So I do promise that the next contest, and hopefully all my contests going forward, will not have that limitation. I apologize to my Canadian readers, because I know that they make up a majority of my readership. And trust me, guys, you are the best. One of the best when it comes to my contest. I get a lot of, surprisingly, a little behind the scenes, I get a lot of contest entries from Canada. I don't know why that is. I don't know why, you know, I'll tell you this too. A lot of my contest entries come from Canada, but surprisingly, very few come from the United States. People who read my website who live within the United States. And I can't understand that. I don't know. My contests are usually very easy. This Nika contest involves some work, which I really have to laugh at because that was one of the things main comments the first couple days the contest was up on the site was, this is too hard. I have to do too much work. And I hate to be like this, guys, but I mean, come on, you're getting an exclusive figure from a major toy company, something that you can only get if you go out to San Diego. And if you don't go there, they're either going to, if they have leftovers, they might sell it on their site. But realistically, people are going to scrounge these up in Comic-Con and they're going to sell them for $50 to $100 a pop. I'm giving you a chance to win a free exclusive figure, and all I hear is complaining about it. It's like this is the honest to goodness truth. Every single person who I've read complaints about this, about it being too much work, has been from the United States. It's unbelievable. Every single person that I've seen complain about it is from the U.S. And I don't know if that's just part of our culture. And yes, I do reside in the United States, but it's been pretty interesting to see those comments. And most of my other contests are fill a form out or send an email with some information or, you know, something to that effect. It's not anything that's really hard. For this contest, I thought it's such a unique figure. You know, it's taking something from a lot of our childhood and they did something really cool with it. And I thought, you know, to make it an interesting contest, why not have some people create an image or a video with their Jason figures with the Friday 13th background? And it just seemed like a great idea. And I really believe that the people who really are going to appreciate this figure and who are really going to want it are the ones who are going to make these images and these videos for the contest. And I will tell you this, we have gotten some really, really awesome submissions so far. There's some great inventive and unique stuff that I can't wait to share with everybody once the contest kind of gets towards the end. But yeah, that contest ends on Friday, July 12th, I believe. Yeah, July 12th is a Friday. And so I encourage everybody to just, you know, you don't have to be good at Photoshop. You don't have to be good at making a video. Just try. That's all I ask. That's all I want. I just want to see part of running the website and getting news out there and doing what I do is enjoying all the fans and the passion that they have for the films. And running these contests is kind of a way for me to really enjoy it even more and give things away to people who share my passion for the films. And I just don't want anybody to think that they're getting shafted with this. And it's funny, I was reading comments on Nika's Facebook page when they actually posted a link to this contest, and the amount of people who just complained up and down and all around about, this is a sham, and why don't you guys just sell us the figures or give it to us for free? And I mean, honestly, it's one of the most stressful contests I've ever had. It's just so insane. But I just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, this is a kind of a different circumstance with this contest where I could only ship within the United States. And, you know, I think other people have to realize too that I am, for all intents and purposes, one man running this entire website and the Facebook page and the forum and the Twitter. I'm writing all the stories. I'm getting all the news items. I'm creating the podcast on my own. And shipping contest items is so far down on my totem pole of things I do, besides the fact that, you know, I am a family man and I have other things going on and job full-time and such, that this just seemed like such an easy thing to do. They're willing to ship it, and so I'll just let them do it. But yeah, so that's the situation with that contest. And you know, if anybody has any questions about it, please let me know. I'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. Also, I wanted to talk about just in general fans and readers who try to contact the website. And it can be contacting the website for anything in terms of, you know, questions about the films, questions about Blu-ray, questions about the sequel, questions about merchandise, questions about my website, questions about the Facebook page, you know, anything at all. Doesn't matter. Lately, I've been really swamped, not only with the website, but just with just my own personal job and everything, that I haven't been getting back to people as quickly as I'd like. Sometimes it's been weeks, which I really have to apologize to everybody for. It's not something I usually am that late on doing, but especially now, I mean, I'm getting tons of messages on Facebook. I get emails sent to the, you know, to the website, forum posts, Twitter messages. It's a lot to hold on to. It's a lot to take on. So I'm really hoping to fix that soon. I'm trying to find a way to try to get it all brought into one thing. You know, when I get Facebook messages and Twitter messages, I typically get it sent to my email, and I know it's all coming in. It's just a matter of finding time to reply back to everybody, I guess, is the biggest hurdle for me now. So if you have sent me something and you have not heard back from me, I apologize. If you would like to resend a message to me, I encourage it, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. Yeah, so that's pretty much what's going on now. I do have another kind of a scoop, some information that might be, you know, that some people will get very excited about that I can't tell you yet. It's another situation like with the Crystal Lake Memories documentary. I actually helped. Well, I guess I'll get into that. Producer Dan Ferentz has been spectacular with the Crystal Lake Memories documentary. Also, Tommy Hudson, who's his partner on that, they have been spectacular communicating with me about the documentary, letting me in on some things with the documentary. They are genuinely fans of these movies and really want to deliver something special to the fans. They are working tirelessly, and I really hope that everybody who's listening to this, who follows my website, I hope they really understand. You guys may never understand, but I really hope once this comes out that you appreciate what they've done. They have gone through so much work for this documentary. It is unbelievable. Dan has told me stories about just with the actors themselves and getting these interviews and just the time that's put in to make this a truly special event for everybody and all the fans. Everybody in Friday the 13th will be blown away with this. I mean, he's told me, like, he's told me a lot about what they're doing with this that I can't reveal right now, but I can guarantee you this, that everybody's going to be talking about this documentary for a long, long time. I mean, it's going to be spectacular. And I that's all I got to say is I just want to let everybody know that they worked their butts off on this documentary. And I just also want to take a moment to thank all the fans who submitted in their photos that we requested for the documentary. They were Halloween photos that we asked about, like people dressed up as Jason for old Halloween photos from when they were growing up in the 80s. That was one thing that we requested. And then the other type of image was anybody who had images, pictures of them with Betsy Palmer. And I'm pretty sure some of those are going to make it in the documentary. So just want to thank everybody who submitted those photos to us, and you know who you are. But I just want to get back to what I was talking about in terms of scoops and information that I can't share. Crystal Lake Memories was an example. The Blu-ray box set was an example. It's frustrating to everybody that I can't, and to me, that I can't talk about it. But there is one other thing that should be coming up and announced within the next month or so. Month or 2 months. Now, I found out about this way back last year, and I wanted to tell everybody, but I can't. And we'll see if it materializes, because things do change within a year. But there is something else to look forward to, and I really hope it happens. Yeah, so there's a little tease for everybody. I think people kind of get upset with me when I do that from time to time, but I like to tease. I like to tease everybody, especially in the social network sites. Twitter, I'm notorious for it on Twitter especially. I always throw out little things. In fact, I threw out something today on Twitter. We'll see if it's a part of an illustration. So take a look at that too. See if you can sift through my Twitter or the website Twitter account, and you'll find that. But I think that's it for today, guys. We're running into 40 minutes now, which is spectacular. I've never had a podcast go that long. Next podcast, I promise I will have a quote-unquote co-host with me that we'll be discussing number of topics with the films. I'm also trying to work out a way to get some interviews with us on the podcast. Maybe not as much as an interview, but just a guest. Somebody to hop on with us to talk about the films, who were part of the films. I'm taking requests. Let me know who you want on the show. Let me know who you'd like to hear us talk to. I will not guarantee it. I will try my best to get them. So yeah, let us know. And so we're going to try to make this a monthly podcast. It's pretty much impossible to make it weekly, but I can guarantee a monthly podcast. And so I'm open for suggestions, everybody. I can do specific type of shows, and just let me know in the comments below. You can send us an email. You can email us at podcasts@FridayThe13thFranchise.com. That is the place that we will be taking inquiries and suggestions. And on the next podcast, I got something special to announce for the website. So stay tuned. Thank you, everybody, for listening, for visiting FridayThe13thFranchise.com, and talk to you later.